CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. You got LeBang and Ryan in the studio. You got me in the dock. It is Wednesday morning. We're almost at the end of September already. What the hell?
Whoop, whoop. That means Christmas is around the corner.
Oh, my God.
What do you think about Christmas?
No, you mustn't say this. This gives me
the heebie-jeebies.
Goosebumps. Yeah, I'm like, no, we can't be there already, but we are. So, LeBang, you're right. Okay, so, have you still got that terrible hay fever and sinus thing that you've been suffering with for like 4 weeks now?
Yeah, I'm like on week number 3 now. It's just a part of who I am. It's trying to just take identity within me. It's just who I am. It's really frustrating. I've got tissue on the desk as we speak. I just can't shake it. I've tried everything.
Poor you. You've been on all the different pills and none of them work?
Dude, everything. Like, literally, it's bad. Like, all that's left is for me to go and see, like, a sangoma and just sit with said sangoma and say,
maybe you should
help me. Like, what's going on? Maybe we need to, like, kill a chicken or, like, do a bit of a ceremony and then I'll be well
maybe
again.
You should.
Yeah, it's pretty hectic. It's pretty hectic.
Where does one find a good sangoma?
Well, these days, Facebook.
Really?
Twitter, Instagram. Yeah. It's not like before. Like now it's like you just pick up your phone. You can Google a good sangoma. Just don't get scammed.
Right. You can. But yeah. Facebook is, as we know, for you especially dangerous. I mean, Facebook Marketplace is like the last place LeBang wants to find herself, right?
Yeah, no, I haven't been there for a while. I'm proud to say I'm recovering. I literally just don't go there anymore. Not even for window shopping. It just doesn't interest me. Everything is just like, I don't care how good the sale is. Not interested.
No, I'm proud of you for staying away from there. It's been proven, though, to be a dangerous place for you above all. So you know what? Don't worry about all the things that are wrong with our country today. Don't think about all the flooding in the Western Cape, which is nobody's fault, obviously. Don't think about all the power problems that we continue to have around the country. I mean, I haven't been able to use hot water in my house for 3.5 days now. I mean, luckily I can handle a cold shower. I'm not so precious that I won't survive. And there are people who really are suffering, but I've been I'm in a position where I could put like in solar, and the only problem is that that God has to switch on the sun, so that'll come on just now and then I'll actually have light in my house. I was trying to save last night. You know, it's so weird, like you budget. So you were like, I'm going to need these lights so I can walk around the house and actually see where I am. But I don't want to use too many lights because otherwise I'm not going to have power for the show for tomorrow.
Yeah.
So,
but is that a real thing? I also find myself doing that, like, don't need this light, boop, don't need this light, boop. Like, does it actually make any difference, like, at the end of the day?
It does. Yes. It does. So I've got this little app on my phone, which allows me to see how much power I'm consuming.
Oh, nice.
But the funny thing, you know, it's so weird how this happens, but like my Eskom bill has not gone down, despite the fact that I've been using way less power lately because I haven't had any.
Welcome to South Ah.
So how does that work?
Have you had a reduced water bill by any chance?
No.
Sure. I love when we daydream. I love it.
Oh. My water bill's gone up, despite me using less. I don't understand this. And then, you know, at least despite all of our problems, we've got, massive amounts of crime. We've got like real issues to deal with as a country. Unemployment is rising by the day.
Yeah.
But at least two things happened yesterday, which we should be very proud of, that changed everything for all of us.
Yep.
Number one, Becky Cele got an award from the Chinese for doing such a good job during BRICS and during the South African Chinese state visit.
Sure.
They gave him something called the Great Wall Commemorative Medal. Take a look at this. This is so great.
I'm so
proud of Becky Cele. And this makes everything better, if you ask me. Here he is receiving an award from the Chinese. Isn't that nice for Becky Cele?
I mean, took his hat off.
I've never seen that man's head. I feel like that hat is always attached to him. Like, it's his brand. Congratulations, Begicele, for representing South Africa so very well for that 1 week when Bricks was here.
They were on it, hey?
Yeah, they were. I mean, there were a lot of cops everywhere. That must be what the award is about.
I don't know how you guys feel about this, but I'm not going to complain about anything in South Africa. As long as Begicele keeps getting awards, I'm happy. So, you know, first and foremost, that's something I think we can be very proud of. Hooray, hooray.
Yes.
What a great story.
Yes.
We are winners when, because our police minister is getting awards from the Chinese. So that's one thing you can be thrilled and satisfied about. The other thing is, everybody, just in case you thought that our government had forgotten about us completely and given up on the idea of governing South Africa, no, they're busy changing street names, you know,
yes.
Because rather than fix William Nicol or make it wider, because as anyone who lives in Johannesburg knows, that is one of the most fucking horrible streets you could ever find yourself on.
Mm-hmm.
It is always full of potholes. It is always full of traffic. It is always full of problems. The lights never work there, mostly. It is one of the worst roads, right, Lebang? Right, Ryan?
It's
you guys have both
messy,
been on it.
Messy, messy, messy. If you live in Four Ways, then you spend most of your time living on William Nicol Drive.
Yeah.
The travel to and fro is hours. It's just delays on delays. But guys, we're saved. They've renamed it. All is well.
Right, and then they did the great honor on the day that Zoleka Mandela died, which was yesterday.
Yeah.
This is the granddaughter of the woman they named the street after. What do? They rename it by crossing out with a big red line. They don't even put up a new sign, these cheapskate fuckers. They just cross out William Nicol with a red line and they say, William Mandela Drive, like everything's better now.
Yep.
Look what we've done. Look, we're a great government. We've achieved amazing things. And by the way, Zoleka, you can rest in peace because your granny, her name is emblazoned on the shittest street in Joburg. So well done, everybody.
What a
such
week.
Winning.
Sure.
Such winning. Unbelievable, huh?
They've lifted their arms and they're out. Like, this is the most work that has been done in years. This is we should stand innovation to the government.
Look at Fikile's tweet. So this is a screenshot of his tweet. Done. He says.
With like an
mission accomplished.
He's got like the Amandla.
The Amandla hat. And that's not even the right color emoji. So it's already just like.
Right color, it's yellow.
It's like,
you know why it's yellow? It's yellow for two reasons. One, because he's owned by the Chinese. And two, because he's yellow. He's lily livid. He lacks courage. So there we are. Everything you needed to know about the ANC in this one picture that's on your screen right now.
Yeah.
Figin and Balula done with the yellow, cowardly Amandla fist in Chinese.
Yeah.
And then William Nicol renamed to Winnie Mandela Drive, just crossed out. Not even like redone. They didn't even redo the signs from what I can tell.
Yo,
they just
bro.
Crossed out the old one. Wrote it in small letters above.
Yeah.
Can I just say, like, they really just were so selfish in doing this because for them, this is a win, right? What about the, you know, the many businesses that have built their name on Nicol, on like Nicolway or like on William Nicol?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's that. But also,
I wouldn't change it.
Dude, what about crime? What about unemployment?
No. I mean, we
what
live
about
in a perfect
GBV?
Country. Don't get
there's,
me wrong.
There's generally, like, as far as, like, the list of priorities of things to get to, changing a street name is just, for me, such a PR stunt. It's just like a, you know,
now,
let's confuse them. That's what it feels like.
The best thing, Lebang, is that now the ANC and the EFF are fighting over who should get credit for renaming the street. So, yeah. So this is the children these are the kids that we have in charge of this country.
Yeah.
They're fighting over the renaming of a street that everyone hates. It's just, it is like anyone from anywhere else in the world would look at this and go, these people are infantile. They are not adults. They are not to be taken seriously. These are children who've been given way too much of their own authority. They should not be allowed to make decisions. This drives everyone in South Africa mad because I don't think that there's a single person, even Winnie Madikizela Mandela, her family who were in mourning yesterday, by the way, it was her birthday. But I mean, you might have thought if you had any soul, if you were at all a sensitive human being, maybe you would have thought, hmm, those members of her family who are left may be a little hurt at this very moment. And maybe it might be nice to have them there when you rename the stupid street.
Yeah.
But no, it's all about us. It's all about me, Fikile Mbalula. It's all about me, the EFF. It's all about the ANC. They actually think this is an achievement. They think they've achieved something. So I have a suggestion. All right, everything that is a fuck up, crumbling infrastructure, power plants that don't work, coal mines that are defunct, roads that are full of potholes, all the things that are buggered up, I'm happy for them to rename. And anything that's new that gets built gets named after whichever South African citizen happens to walk past within 2 seconds of it being finished. Because, first of all, there is nothing new being built, in case you haven't noticed. The last thing we had built in Gauteng was like the Gautrain, and that was when Bazima Shiloa was the premier. Okay. There were a couple of stadiums built by Sepp Blatter, but we can't count those because we didn't build them. The World Cup FIFA guys did. So I think that there's obviously stuff that needs to be renamed, but all the fucked up things. I looked at, you know, how people sometimes post these things on Facebook of like what Johannesburg looked like 10 years ago, yeah, or what Pretoria looked like 10 years ago. And let me tell you, it looked better. There is no part of South Africa, with the exception of the Western Cape, and even that place at the moment because of all the rain they've had, no place in South Africa looks better right now than it did 10 years ago. Yes. So I don't mind if you rename things that have got worse after politicians, because they are the ones responsible for making it worse. But don't you dare go and name anything new. Because first of all, you're not building anything new. And second of all, I don't believe for a second that you should be taking credit for infrastructure that was put up before you came into power.
Yeah, it's actually very insulting, to be honest. It's just shining light on where their heads are at as far as these so-called positions that they are in. They're completely fumbling. Mm. They continue to fumble. And really, they're focusing on getting just like all the shine, and it's just like unnecessary shine. And it's sad to see, you know, so many people in the country go, yes, woo, this is great, whoop, whoop. Cool. Now let's get to the real problems. At some point, we're going to have to get real and get to the real problems.
I just want to point out something. Have you guys been on that new the Eskom app lately?
No.
Have you noticed this? Just by the way, there is...
No, what?
There is the rest of South Africa and then Cape Town. Do you notice this? So like...
What, no load shedding?
No load shedding. Cape Town has its own like little block. And then the rest of the country is on stage two. It's only like...
Well...
I was like, oh my gosh.
I mean, I hate to say it, but honestly, and I don't even want to get into the debate about Winnie Madikizela Mandela, because I know there are lots of people who are massive fans of hers, and there are lots of people who are absolutely, you know, disgusted that we should name anything after. I'm neither of those, because that's not the issue for me. The big issue for me is that this is not doing anything.
Yes.
For anyone.
Yes.
Not even for Winnie's family, because exactly, if they had a shred of decency, they might have just waited a couple of days after her granddaughter died of breast cancer yesterday. So clearly just not even a little bit of human sensitivity going on here. Just
tact.
Absolute self-serving infantilism. That's all it is. Mm. And there's no other way to put it. Anyway,
is there who's like reading the room? Is there not a single person there that says, guys, maybe let's postpone this to next week?
I think they realize what's coming, and now it's like, what low-hanging fruit can we pick this point? Because this is where it's going. What's the easiest thing we can do in the meantime?
Yeah, no, they're pretty much desperate.
Tracy does say that the Western Cape has been exempt from load shedding for a couple of days due to the flooding, which is true. And there has been, there's been horrendous rain in the Cape. Apparently, Franschhoek had the most rainfall over the weekend. They had 299 millimeters, which is a lot. The Overberg, Cape Winelands, Garden Route, all affected during the storm. Villiersdorp recorded 141 millimeters of rainfall. Sure. Early estimates reveal that more than 1,000 homes are damaged due to flooding. So not great in the Western Cape either. You know, this all plays into Bakabantu's The End Is Nigh narrative.
Don't say He's in the comments.
No. So that could be, Ryan, why you, you're seeing a separate category for them on the Eskom app.
I was just shocked. I was like, Cape Town is clearly doing better in terms of the power thing. Because I know they have a lot of sustaining options there. And they're normally like a stage or two lower than us regularly. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they also are building their own power stations and they are going to become energy independent of the rest of South Africa.
Yeah.
Again, fine. You know, this is the difference between a government that can run a place and a government that can't. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't see Jordan Hill Lewis naming anything after him or after any other DA members. I don't see anything in Cape Town being renamed for any of them, but they're getting on and fixing things. So you may hate the DA. You may think they have a lot of things that they could do better. And I wouldn't disagree. There are things they can do better. I mean, my municipality is supposedly run by the DA, right? We interviewed the mayor just, what, 2-3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here in the dark. And the rubbish still hasn't been collected. And so I don't think they're perfect. But they're certainly, like, just by waking up in the morning and getting dressed, the DA are better than the ANC after a whole day's work, in inverted commas. So that's all we can say at this point. And there's just no doubt about it. That's why people are moving to the Cape and they're not moving anywhere else. So, you know, as much as we have a lot of fun with Cape Town and at Cape Town's expense, I think we've also got to come to terms with the fact that it's just, you know, they run things better. Anyway, sounds like Florida and the rest of the United States might well be. The Cape Town grid is currently protected. Oh, this is interesting. From two stages. The goal is to have four-stage protection by 2025. Hmm. Well, that's very good.
That is interesting.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, renaming stuff is just, it seems like this is always a thing that gets people pissed off. I'll tell you what I'm a little bit pissed off about. Yesterday, someone I know whose daughter or son is at Tux University sent me a video. Yeah,
you
I know.
Are so, like alumni-ish.
Yeah, I just don't know if this is something. Like, I don't know if we're going to be very proud of what we see here because.
Oh no.
So someone sent me this video. Yeah, I know. It's another like embarrassing and disgraceful spectacle. But what's happened is apparently. The EFF were blocking the turnstiles at the university, saying only black students could come in.
Why?
Now, because again, they're children. You know, we're not dealing with adults. We're not dealing with grown-ups here. Like this is how children behave. You know, you've got five of them, Lebang. So, you know, your five kids and they range in ages. What they will do is they will push you as a parent, right? They will try to get a reaction, They'll see how far they can stretch their authority until it comes up against yours,
sure.
Right? So until you say, stop it, I'm the mom, and you like threaten them with violence or something being taken away or whatever,
yeah.
then they'll listen to you. So it's the same thing with the EFF. Because the government of this country are a bunch of spineless, worthless wastrels, the EFF play games like this. Now, obviously, I don't even think that most of the students in this case are going to be particularly perturbed. I mean, if I got to university back in the days when I was there and I couldn't go to class, I would have said, oh, well, too bad. You know, there were often protests. I'd be like, okay, well, I'll have the day off. I could give a shit
sure.
Because I don't even think tertiary education is such a big deal. The EFF do, and I think them blocking other students on the basis of race it's just disgusting racism. It's the kind of thing that if we saw it in reverse, we would be horrified and we would be calling national commissions of inquiry and we'd be arresting people and locking them up for hate speech. But
What is the reason? Did something happen? What triggered them? Because from my knowledge, when EFF arrives at a place, it's because somebody has complained about something and then they come and they try and rectify the issue. So they're not just going to pick a place and go and cause uproar. It's usually somebody has said, oh, there's a problem. Yeah, like usually it's like, oh, I got dismissed at my work, and then they'll be at Clicks, or someone will say, oh, something happened in my lecture, or then they'll be at the school. It literally, that's how the process works, from what I know. So, right, so like,
here it is.
What's going on?
This is all we know. So here we go. Have a look. Here we go.
It's a beautiful girl.
No one's calling them twice. Hey, we don't know. Hey, we're only black students. Only black students to enter. Only black students. Go back.
Oh my God. Only
black students.
Oh my God. Sure.
All right. I mean, we don't need to see a whole lot more. So whatever the reason, it's still an outrage and a disgrace. And of course, nothing will happen because everyone else is expected to be the adults and they're allowed to be the children. Now, in reality, just that man standing there saying, sorry, no, only black students. Whatever his reason is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Mm. It's like straight up racism. Whoever that guy is, just like all the people who've gone to court for hate speech in South Africa, for using the K word, all of that stuff, it's exactly the same. Straight to court for this guy. I want to know who he is. Doesn't matter what his reasons are. He could be pissed off. I mean, his mom could have been working in the kiosk on the camp. It doesn't matter. That's straight up racism, not allowed, not in our country, not on our Constitution's watch. Sorry, there's no reason in the world for that to happen. So if anyone knows more about this, be interesting to find out. But again, stupid rules in South Africa. So
if you play stupid games, you get stupid results, pretty much. Like that's just the bottom line.
So we're waiting for.
So I think on one end, it's like you know, like it's a pity to see these political parties continue to use race in this country as almost like a pillar in all of their strategies, you know, just to distract from the real problems. It's not the biggest issue. You know, we've had this conversation so many times on the show where this is just a tool that they use because they know that they can distract the country, they can distract people, they can rile the people up and get them worked up, whereas there are definitely other things that we should be focusing on. So it's a pity to once again wake up in South Africa in 2023 and just be witness to this ongoing nonsense. Yeah. You know, whatever political party it comes from, it continues. And that's the nonsense.
Okay, I could not agree more, but this is beyond like political parties, and I'm not going to allow the EFF to be treated differently to anyone else who would do this kind of thing. As far as I'm concerned, I want to know why nothing happens to these people. Why does nothing happen to these guys? And it seems not even to have made the news in any of our major publications. I did fact check this. I found out from the student that this was real. It was filmed yesterday. So I know this is not nonsense. I want to know how this happens, you know? Supposedly a country that does, even though we should be over this, we take it seriously. We have, you know, we have certain, like the I hate these bodies, but the Human Rights Commission and the idea of hate speech, as stupid as both of those ideas are, we have them and people have used them before. So if they've been used from this side, they must equally be used from that side. Otherwise the law is an ass.
The law is an ass, sure.
And the fact that we even have, you know, a hate speech clause is ridiculous because that's just marketing for censorship. That's all it is. But if we're going to have it, and people like me don't think it's necessary to have it, but if we have it, then let's apply it equally. Otherwise, I don't see the point. Just throw it away.
Well,
nonsense.
Look at it this way, G. Again, PR stunt, talkability. How do we get people to? How do we trend? And look at us now giving them that exact thing. Here we are talking about it. How dare they? Any publicity is good publicity. They just want to be number one on the trending list. It doesn't matter how they get there. Whether they're doing good or whether they're doing bad is not the thing. As long as they're doing something. And they know with South Africans, the quickest way to trend is to do something as controversial as this. Is to do something as stupid as this, because it's going to get the people talking. And sadly, here we are as well, giving them the exact same platform.
Well, there we are. Let's look at, here's another thing people are pissed off about while we're on a long list this morning. But this one is the least interesting to me. But I mean, a lot of people are upset about this. So Sievan Dhillon has so many fans that are upset that they are canceling the show, that they've decided they're going to protest.
Oh.
I don't know how many people, but the Sievan Dhillon fans are going to protest at Campus Square in Auckland Park tomorrow at 10 o'clock. So if you have nothing else to do and you're a massive fan of Sievan Dhillon,
guys,
then that's where you got to be.
I think
a petition will be handed to the SABC demanding that the public broadcaster keep the show on air. We've received news about a petition, but the decision taken is a business decision, said Caroline Palakachela, who's an SABC. Imagine being an SABC publicist. That poor woman. Oh, she's got such a horrible job.
Shame. Anyway, I've got so many questions. My first thing is Campus Square is still a thing. Isn't that like...
Oh, no, they've actually built it out, eh?
Is it? Isn't that where there's like a lot of students? I don't know if students are watching Sievan Dhillon.
I don't know if people are still watching it just to try and...
No, Simpure is going to be off tomorrow. Simpure is going to Campus Square tomorrow.
Is Simpure a big fan?
Doesn't she like that show? Wasn't she like defending it at some point?
We all used to watch it because everyone used to say to us when we were in high school, you must watch Sievan Dhillon if you want to improve your Afrikaans. But it was actually fascinating. But the last 5 years, they changed the storyline and brought in a rich family that's evil, and it became like an Isidingo. But as far as I remember, it ended quite badly with all the actors and everything. Like, some people weren't paid because it wasn't going on air, and it got quite ugly. So I don't know what's going on there, but I'm just like, over the last 3 or 4, even 5 years, I'd say, Sievan Dhillon hasn't been that great.
So you have been watching?
No, I haven't been. I tune in every now and then just to see what it's like. It's like when old WWE fans tune in now just to see like if it's still the same.
So, I mean, the problem is that the SABC can't afford to do anything like that. They can't make shows. They don't have any money. Mm. They have run out of money. They have been run into the ground by the most useless, again, parastatal in South Africa. I think the SABC, well, it's a photo finish between them and Eskom and Prasa and all the others. You know, I mean, you take your pick which one is worse, but there is no money. They're just, guys, like, there's no money. It's so I don't know how you expect.
So they should do it the South African way and privatize it and find another company that's willing to sponsor it like they do the rugby.
It's not personal. I think those who are upset about this just need to understand the business behind how this runs. It's not that we don't want to continue with Sievan Dhillon. We just can't afford it. Maybe we can discuss reruns. You know, maybe we can, you know.
Sure, like, because all those legacy actors on there, I'm sure their prices have gone up. Like, yesterday's price is not today's price.
Yeah, but they definitely aren't getting paid. Like, it's rough out there.
I know.
Yeah, or they must just put money together. They must crowdfund. Why don't they crowdfund?
How much do you think they get paid, like, per month on the, if you're on a daily, because it's not really, a soapy? Is that a sitcom?
They don't get paid enough.
It's not a lot, right?
They don't get paid enough, that I can tell you.
Right.
Like, especially in South Africa, like, acting here is just, dude, it's the pits.
I know. They're going to say it's your fault for not paying the TV license. That's what they're going to say.
Apparently, some of these soap stars are being paid as little as 4,000 or 5,000 rand a month to be on that show.
It's very bad.
And they still can't afford the show. So
I was offered to be on that show when I was in college, because it was filmed in the same building where I was studying. And I think the offer was 700 rand for the day, and then you can have lunch.
Listen to that. Yeah.
they were specifically looking for like a big white guy for the background.
Like an extra.
Yeah, I was an extra to like sit at the table.
But 700 rand for an extra is not bad.
That's not bad.
I remember doing some extra work for like ETV Scandal or whatever. They paid us like $100, dude, and lunch.
Scandal?
Yeah, really? I was like an extra. I went there like every day for a week, and they paid me $100 a day. And then I was like, this is not worth it.
And lunch.
And lunch.
Lunch makes everything.
And lunch. That's how they reel you in with a bit of lunch.
Yeah. Right? A little bit of, you can have access to our canteen.
This is like so sad because it is. I mean, we can laugh about it because none of us give a shit about $7. Okay. But for people who are trying to be actors in South Africa, that's one more avenue that's been shut down. I mean, I know Lebang and Ryan, you guys both care about radio. You both started off in sound and radio and broadcasting and all that stuff. It's one of the reasons you do this show, right? It's one of the reasons that you guys came to Cliff Central. So we know our love for broadcasting goes a long way.
Yeah.
And you can imagine if you were an actor or an actress, that would be what you really wanted to do. And you can't, there's one less place that you can go and do that now.
Yeah.
Because there aren't that many. Yeah, like you were both offered like extra roles. You know, for some kid who's currently at high school in South Africa, whose dream is to be a TV actor or whatever, because we can rip it off, we can make fun of it, we can say it's a piece of shit and pays nothing and whatever. But that's just one less opportunity available to a young South African. And that does kind of make me sad because even though I could care less about the stupid soap operas, they are a good training ground for people. And, you know, even for... like, I know some very good actors who've been on these shows because it was the only job they could get at a certain time.
And so, and some legends were made from these shows. I mean, you know, you can recall a few from Issa Dingo days. And
But look, we've got YouTube now, guys. Like, literally, we live in a time where if you are a young, aspiring actor, actress living in South Africa and you want to break through, like, literally start a YouTube channel, write your own scripts, do monologues on there every week. You have the platform now to do your own thing instead of
or
TikTok, whatever the platform is. Yeah. We don't live in a time anymore where you need to wait for them to come and find you or you have to just keep auditioning. Start and put the work in on your own and then the rest will follow. And that's what I think anyway. So it just be like that sometimes.
Yeah. But there is also a difference between like filming yourself on your cell phone and hoping it will get you somewhere and actually being in a TV production. I mean,
100%,
you know, again,
100%. Yeah.
Having done the biggest TV show in South Africa for a couple of seasons with Idols, we have directors and lighting guys, and sound guys, and we used to have a full production, and it was really done properly.
Yeah.
There's a difference between that and, you know, doing like some lame show on your YouTube channel.
What I mean is at least start doing something because a lot of the stars today are handpicked from their YouTube channels. These casting agencies aren't sitting there, you know, casting hundreds and hundreds of people who are talented. They're literally going online to see who's got a following, who's already putting the work on YouTube. Because remember, if you already start to build your brand with what you've got, it teaches you the discipline. It teaches you a lot about, you know, that space. That by the time they do pick you and you get into the big studios with the cameras and you're on these great sets, you're kind of already halfway there. So there's like there's a way to do it in this day and age that 10, 20 years ago, you weren't able to do. So just use what you've got now. Don't be upset about the fact that Seven Delon is closing down and you maybe won't get a shot to do that. Start a Seven Delon spinoff, make a skit out of it and put it up on YouTube. We'll support you.
There we go. Yeah. Thank you, Lebang, for bringing some positivity and optimism.
It's about time. It's like 30 minutes of like things we hate in our country.
Okay. Well, this I don't know if I love or hate this, but it is hilarious. So heat waves and wildfires, as well as extreme flooding in Greece. So it isn't just here in South Africa that we've had some extreme weather events, have destroyed many areas of farmland. And the surviving livestock are struggling to find enough to eat. So a herd of sheep, which was looking for fresh grass for food due to the flooding, started behaving strangely after they ate large parts of a cannabis crop. According to reports, the sheep invaded a greenhouse and that greenhouse made medical cannabis in Greece. The owner said the crop had already been badly damaged by a heatwave and Storm Daniel, and the sheep had finished what was left. The herd had been grazing in the flooded plains of Thessaly before heading to the greenhouse near the town of Amyros to eat around 100 kilograms of weed. Can you imagine sheep on weed?
This sounds like a good movie. I would actually watch a movie of these right. sheep just getting high.
I love this. I think it's so fantastic. It makes me very happy.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
So, I mean, even though, it's probably not so great for the poor guy who was trying to grow some weed to sell. I mean, it is hilarious that this bunch of sheep have effectively eaten his entire crop and got high as hell afterwards. It's bloody hilarious. All right. A couple of things that you guys wanted to bring up. And we've already discussed Lebung's incessant hay fever. There was actually some good advice in the comment section.
I saw a comment actually where somebody was suggesting I try a nasal spray.
Can I tell you, Garrett, it has actually been hilarious watching
notes
trying to see Lebung get over this like thing, because everybody in the office has got their own suggestions on what she should do. Like Dari suggested she should eat chilies. So
I've been eating chilies
every
day.
There was one night in the morning. She literally said, like, Ryan, last night I ate all the chilies and I'm still the same, but my mouth is on fire.
It's like trial and error.
It didn't help, right?
It
didn't help at all.
It did.
What else did Dari suggest? Dari suggested something else to you once when I was in the office with you.
Was it mental crystals?
The mental crystals.
So what right. I do, I put them like on top of my humidifier and then like the air gets like, you know, all mentholed up, but it still does absolutely nothing. So I'm just gonna like pretty much give up. I'll probably like go to the doctor next week and get like a serious thing.
I just find it fascinating how everybody has their own like tips and tricks.
It's actually interesting. It really is. The security guard at my house actually like took some branches off of a tree and was like, take these, boil them for 10 to 20 minutes, and after that, sniff it in. After you sniff it in, drink it. I was like, okay. And I tried it and it didn't work. I've tried everything.
Did you try eucalyptus?
I've tried eucalyptus. Mm. I've tried it all. There's nothing I haven't tried. But guys, on Saturday, I was watching the rugby at one of these this place called the German Club in Paul's office. Like, you know, these cute little pubs that are like, have been there for ages, blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
And I was walking outside and I heard a voice and someone was like, Lebung. And I'm like looking around. I'm like, I'm like one of the only black people in here. Like, who is that calling me? And there were these two people sitting at the table, Mia and Brandon. And they're like, oh my gosh, we listen to you on Gareth's show every day. They were like, they couldn't believe that I was there, actually. And I couldn't believe that they were there. And they recognized. I was like, oh, hey, guys, how's it going? So we had like a nice fat chat. They're actually such nice people. Every person that I've bumped into that actually like watches the show and engages in the comments is actually so nice in real life. Yeah. I think all of this is just an act. You know, this whole like mean comments, blah, blah, blah. It's all just an act. Like, everybody's actually quite nice. So shout out to Mia and Brandon. I hope you guys are listening. Very nice to meet you guys.
Oh, well, that's cool.
It was
That's
nice.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
I got a gift. I think it's from Roz. She sent this thing for Alice, for the dog, a while ago. And
you know,
like a little thing in the collar. And I hadn't thanked her. And I just wanted to, because, you know, again, we have such amazing listeners. This thing's been sitting here for a while. I don't want her to think that I'm being ungrateful. But, you know, we've got, no, really. I mean, I'd forgotten I even had it for a little while, which is very rude.
That's so kind.
But yeah, it's. Anyway, nice of her to send that. So, yeah, there are, you know what, Lebung? People put on, like, on the internet in general, they put on this, I'm this tough, I'm this really, you know, unbelievably, you know, rough and ready. I'm not scared of anything. I'm a hardcore sort of human thing. And then when you meet them in real life, they're like sweet, lovely people.
It's quite something. It is quite something.
And it's always at the last place that you think. I ran into someone at, I was at the Thunder Gun one Sunday. because they make a mean roast on a Sunday.
The Thunder Gun.
And then they
is that a West Rand local?
No, it's in Northcliffe. It seems like
close enough.
It's been there for like a while. My dad used to shop there back in the day. But somebody just tapped me on the shoulder and they were like, "Oh, are you Ryan? I recognize your voice from the podcast." And I was like, they said they didn't watch it at all, but they just listened to the podcast every day. So I was like, wow, the fact that you recognize.
How loud were you talking, Ryan?
Not loud at all. I sat in the bar area because the restaurant was full.
Annoying. Imagine how annoying Ryan was if they could hear his voice so loudly that the guy came over. Aren't you the guy from that show I listened to?
I got such side eye because I think it's a place for a lot of old timers. So then they see young guys come in there and they're like, what are you doing?
So it's interesting there is even such a place. I mean, I don't know, in South Africa, do we have you know, in England, they've got pubs and everybody in the town or the village goes to the local pub for sports matches and that kind of thing. And then they sit in their same place. Do we have places like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them exist. They all just kind of in these tiny little pockets in these neighborhoods. And a lot of them are actually very friendly. You know, from the outside looking in, it's like, oh no, it's probably very clicky and everybody knows everyone. But I think, like, as a stranger, if you walk in, you're actually made, you know, to feel very welcome. It's not as rigid as it looks like in the movies where it's like, oh, who are you and how did you get it? It's like everybody's welcome. We're just drinking beer, having terrible bar food.
It's like those,
and that's that.
It's like those movies about those Western saloons.
Yes.
You know, those places where the doors go.
And
then the guy walks in. You know, the cowboy walks in and then he stands there and then everyone else in the bar goes dead quiet, right? The piano stops playing and the dancing girls stop dancing. They all look at you. You're the only one in the pub who doesn't know anyone and they're like, can we help you, stranger?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, oh, I think I might be in the wrong place.
Can I tell you, my friends took me to, I don't think it's a new bar, but it's some bar in Krugersdorp called Henny's the other day. And so, but they said to me, Ryan, just know that there's rules that you need to follow. I'm like, what are you guys going on about?
Yeah.
And so,
like what?
So this bar has got rules, as you see here. These are the rules you have to follow inside. So the first one, it says here, I think it's don't be a douche. Then number two is always have fun. And then number three is don't let rule two make you break rule one. And then number four is always drink with your left hand. Buffalo rules apply. So you have to be on the lookout because the waiters can call you out and then you have to down your drink.
That's a good way to make more money and get people drunk.
I was like, these rules are wild. I don't know.
That's cute though.
It's kind of fun. But.
Yeah. Like some of those places, people go there like all their lives. Like literally, like you have your local pub where you go there as like a teenager. That's when you sneak in and maybe have your first bit of alcohol. Then when you're in your 20s, that's where you go comfortably. Then you get your first job. All your life, you're in that very same bar. And so there's like this huge connection to the point where people have tabs there. Literally, you pay at the end of the month. It's a tab. They know. Ryan just walked in. He can have whatever he wants. And then month end, as soon as he gets his salary, he'll pay. Like, it's literally that. So I think he'll settle his bill. So those bar cultures are quite hectic. And I think there's a lot in South Africa that we just haven't explored. You know, dare I say, tavern culture.
Yeah.
You know, it exists. We like to drink in this country. It exists. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually think that's quite sweet. Like there are places where, you know, some old guy goes in and he can drink that month because they know at the end of the month he'll come and settle his bill.
Oh, he's not going anywhere.
He's coming right back.
They know where he lives. They know his wife. In fact, she's going to call any moment now to send him home. Like it's a thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're home away from home, you know. And I didn't know that we had that many places in South Africa that are like that. But it makes me happy to know that they are.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but I do like it. All right. So a few other things that are worth commenting on this morning, because we've got a great interview coming up with Michal Oshman, who is a fascinating woman. She was has been the culture officer for TikTok for a while. She worked at Facebook as well. She's got some incredible experiences that she talks about in our interview. And she was in South Africa for a short while, about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And made a speech at some dinner I went to, which was lovely. But it really was interesting picking her brain about how things like TikTok and Facebook actually work. And we get into her life story a little bit too, which I think a lot of people be interested in. So all of that is coming up a little bit later on. So don't go away. Plenty of good stuff still to come there. We've also got a short four-day week this week. I know it feels to many people as if, it's Wednesday, things are dragging. But actually, you can't complain because you got Monday off, remember?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, those who had money must have really enjoyed their long weekend. must have been swell.
Who has money in South Africa at the moment? You know any people? Do you know such people? Are there such people around Lebang? I mean, where are they? Who are they?
I mean, they exist.
They're in power. I mean,
yeah, sadly.
someone has to tell us where these people are. I want to know who are they and where are they hiding their money?
Yeah,
I mean,
It was a big weekend. A lot of people got married. There were a lot of traditional weddings. There were a lot of events in Joburg. There were just so many things happening. A lot of brides. Seemed like everybody just like had something to do, which is cool. It's just left everybody tired.
I said to Ryan yesterday when I got in to do the show, I actually had a very, very quiet weekend, actually.
Good.
Both Friday and Sunday night, I was in bed early, you know, kind of got everything. I got the right amount of sleep, did some exercise, I ate properly. I was like very impressed with myself. I don't know whether it's actually done me any good. Who knows? Might have been a complete waste of time. But I almost felt, so there's this dual thing. Mm. So number one, I felt good about the fact that I had been a healthy weekend. I only really saw any people and did anything on Saturday night, which is cool because the rugby was on and that was the excuse, right?
Yeah.
But the rest of the weekend, like part of me is pleased that I had a nice, quiet, relaxing weekend. The other half of me is like, what a waste to waste two nights. You could have done something on Friday and Sunday. You know?
I don't think so, Gareth. I think like you did the thing that you wanted to do and it was enough for you. You know, I don't think there's a way to do a weekend wrong. Do you know what I mean? There's a way to do a weekend the way you want to do it. And I mean, if you needed to just rest, dude, just fucking rest. I mean, think about all the things you saved. You saved social battery outside having to smile at everybody and take pictures with everyone. You didn't have to do that. You didn't have to spend any money. You didn't have to get in your car and drive anywhere. You literally sat with your little doggy and did exactly what you wanted to do. And that is enough.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm so glad I brought this up, Lebang. You made me feel better. There we go.
This is what I'm here for. I will be sending my invoice anytime.
There we go.
Yes.
She's not only the mom to her own kids. She sometimes plays mom for the rest of us as well. So thank you, Lebang. Feel better about it.
Good.
Okay. So how about this? I'm really impressed at this. Listen to this. What Carl DeSantis is doing. I have a 3-day week next week. I'm going to a 5-star game reserve for 3 nights. 10-year wedding anniversary. Ooh. Always make more money.
What nice. Tender?
I love that.
What tender did
Good
you get?
For you. No, but let's just put that aside for a moment because I think he has his own business and we've spoken about this on the show before. But, you know, well done, Carl. And that's also, nice. Good that you and you, well done to you and your wife for 10 years marriage. That's a big milestone. I'm really impressed with that.
That's nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. That's very good. John Bad Dog says they've got like 10 pubs all over the East Rand. Every day regulars at them have that all-day drinker, night drinker week and casuals like a soapy at each one.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like a TV show. What was that show that was popular in the 80s in America? Cheers, right? It was about this bar in Boston, I think. And that's what people, they just used to go there every single week. Every day, not even every week.
Yeah. I think 10 is also is little. 10 pubs on there's way more.
No, but I feel like
way more than just 10.
10 is a lot for like a small community. There's definitely more, but I feel like you don't branch out to more than 10.
Dude, like the East Rand is like Benoni, Boxburg, Springs.
Well, Benny the Bums is shut down, so they need like, they need somewhere to go. And
there's a lot, fights. And I haven't even included like spread views. But I'm talking about just like the first part. There's a lot of just areas. my grand always used to say, "Shame Binoni next to Boxburg." Till this day, I'll never understand why. But it's a real thing. That place is massive. Oh, then there's Edenvale. There's Greenstone now. There's a lot. And 10 is not the number. It's probably like 50.
Hey, tell me, you went to the Delicious Festival, didn't you? What was that like?
So I was working, right? So it wasn't like I was there to just like party. It was okay, to be honest. It was cool. I think it was a little bit underwhelming. Event organizers don't really know what they're doing anymore. There's like little things that they got wrong. The nice part was Maxwell was performing on the second day, on the Sunday, which was very cool because Maxwell's just such a legend. It was all right. It was cool. Just like people that have money just being outside spending their money, pretty much.
And what's the idea with that? Because I've never been to it. Is it meant to be like food and drink, or how does it all work?
So people just wandering on paper, around. Yeah, on paper, it's like come through, have like this nice array of foods, but it's now more just about the music and the actual live performances and big brands just sponsoring like massive marquee tents to to schmooze their clients and stuff. It's pretty much that brands come and they put up stages and it's like a festival. That's what they're trying to go for, but again, they're just not hitting it, you know, the right way. It's lost its like the food is now just, it's the same kind of food. For example, it's just burgers and ribs and chips. There's no variety anymore. It's in the beginning, Delicious Festival was that. It was a festival about delicious food. Now it's like come through and party while you have a drumstick in hand. So it was all right. But next week, I'm going to Rocking the Daisies, which is like, I know it's going to be amazing. Like that is like international standard type festival.
That's the one where Kendrick's coming, right?
No, Kendrick's in December.
Oh, that's the... Next
week is Stormzy and Bass and Denzel Curry. Yeah, that's like that whole squad. So it's a busy time of year. There's a lot going on.
Nothing wrong with that. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, exciting times indeed. Indeed. From a pub to festival.
Well, you know what? That's South Africa. We just go from drink to drink.
Yeah, literally.
So Jared says, speaking of having a lot of bars around your neighborhood, I live in Bromley in southeast London, and the residential street behind mine has 4 pubs on one road, and all of them are busy every day.
Love that. Yeah. I love that.
Do you have a local place near where you live, Labang?
You know, because I moved houses last year, I'm still looking for the place, but where I grew up, there's a Baron, like the Baron. And it has the best food. It has the best drinks. It has the best energy. It's got like everything. So I used to go there almost like every single week. Like they knew me by name. It was like, oh, Lebang's here. I was like in tune with them because I grew up there, you know. So leaving was really sad because now I have to like drive around looking for like the new local spot. And I don't know if there is really like a nice, just I'm a bar. I'm not trying to be a fancy restaurant. You get what you pay for kind of place. It's a little bit like fancy and like everybody's like a bit stuck up there in this area. So it's a bit different. So I'm still on the hunt, Gareth, and I will give you feedback once I locate it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't have a local. And when people go out in my sort of neighborhood, I just know that the places they're going to, I'm going to hate. So I don't have a local at
Pretoria
all.
Pretoria has huge bouncers. Like, bouncers in Pretoria are massive. They have to be, but...
So the places that I've been in recently in Pretoria that are quite cool, there's this little sort of village called Hazelwood. It's kind of in the middle of... It's like between Brooklyn and...
Yeah,
Menlyn, Watercliff. It's actually really nice. I mean, it's got a whole bunch of restaurants and bars and like that's a cool place to go. But it's not exactly my local. I mean, it's a good, 15, 20 minute drive. But it's nice. I mean, that's always full of very cool vibes, nice people, nice crowd. Yeah, it's a good place to go.
We used to go to the Hatfield Strip, but let me tell you, I don't think these days I try to stay away from there.
The Hatfield Strip?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There's like a Jolly's there.
In my day, it was a square. No. Back in my Victoria days, it was a whole square.
You and I remember Hatfield Square. Do you remember that?
There was everything was a pub there. What was it called? There were so many. They were all so good. Like Hatfield Square was literally like top 10 places that I've partied in my life. I think you could get like a freaking cane train, a cane and cream soda for like R8 on Thursdays.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
That would have ruined many lives.
It did.
Congo Chris says, I'm surprised the Cliff Central building doesn't have a pub. Yeah, we're thinking.
Maybe.
We're thinking not pub, but coffee shop, maybe.
Yeah, perhaps.
Maybe that's something we should do. I don't know. Maybe a thing. It's maybe a thing on the agenda. We're throwing some ideas around.
Cliff Central regulars in the pub there.
Imagine you had like all the old presenters and they'd come around and hang around. It would be so depressing.
Like, so what are you up to these days? Well,
around that pub next door to Cliff Central. That's just horrendous.
Oh man.
But aren't they? I mean, it's really difficult to open up one of these places because you need all sorts of licenses and things, right?
Maybe I shouldn't say this, but these days, to get those licenses, Gareth, you just need the right amount of money, you know, the right person. It's not as difficult as it used to be. Just get a brown envelope, put some money in there. Okay. You know what I mean?
Say no more. And then you can call it the Winnie Mandela pub as well. And like, you know,
scratch out the old name. On a new one.
And Fikile will come and he'll take a picture of it and say, done, after he's given you a license. That's how it works.
You know what would be cool? Like the done challenge. I want these kids to come up with a challenge that's like, when you do something so stupid and then you say hashtag done and then you put your little fist there in the wrong color because this is just so stupid. Do some dumb shit and then say done.
I'm just going to read the comments under that post. It's hilarious. A lot of people were saying that's what you're going to be in 2024.
Congo Chris says we must call it Mum Jane's Pub and Grub. Can you imagine that?
I feel like that would be terrible because she would just get so mad at everyone like messing up things everywhere.
Pub, Grub and Scones.
Jane would be like, you clean that up.
I think she would be an amazing Shebeen queen.
Oh my gosh, please don't tell that to her face. Please.
Don't you think so? No, but Jane would be like, wouldn't she be perfect? No, come on, Lebang. I mean,
Gareth, don't involve me.
Ryan, hear it after work.
Back me up on this. She Ryan, would be fantastic. She would throw people out. Can you imagine?
From that point of view, she could run that thing properly. And if you make a mess, you're cleaning it up.
Definitely. I think she'd be very good at running a Shebeen. It's not an insult.
And if your name's not on the list, you are not coming in.
Yeah.
Oh, I think she'd be very good. Anyway, listen, that's all we got time for in this hour. When I come back, I will introduce Michal Oshman to you, and we will be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. But don't skip this interview. I think you're going to enjoy it. This woman, I mean, she's really done a lot of interesting things, including working at Facebook and TikTok. She's also a mom. Remarkably, she holds it all together, just like Lebang. And she's got some interesting stories to tell, too. So stick around for all of that and more next on CliffCentral.com. Don't go away. CliffCentral.com.